The first mishnah of this perek taught that if a hole develops at the bottom of a kli made out of wood or leather, which is large enough to allow pomegranates to fall through, which means that the container is no longer fit even to hold large pomegranates, then the utensil will no longer be considered a kli, and it won't be able to become tome. The Mishnah now defines what exactly, which type of pomegranate we are talking about. Tarumein she'omru, the pomegranate that they talked about at the beginning of this perek, lo katan v'lo gadol, it's not talking about an especially small pomegranate or an extra large pomegranate, elo beinoni, but rather the average-sized pomegranate. Now the Chachamim received a tradition that there is a certain law that has a measurement of rimone bodon, pomegranates which come from a place called Bodon, and these pomegranates were especially large. And they knew that there was a certain law that involved a measurement of these large pomegranates, and the question is, with regards to what law was that said? According to the opinion of the Mishnah that we just saw, that we use a medium-sized pomegranate with regards to the laws of Tumah, it must be that this was said with regards to a different law. So with regards to which law was that measurement of these large pomegranates which come from Bodon stated, that these kinds of pomegranates would forbid a mixture even if there's a tiny amount. That is to say, there are certain pomegranates which are forbidden. For example, orla. Orla refers to a tree in its first 3 years. The Torah prohibits one to eat the fruit or even benefit from the fruit which grow on the tree in the first 3 years. However, if that forbidden fruit gets mixed up with lots of other pomegranates, and there are at least 200 times more permitted pomegranates than the forbidden orla pomegranate. So in general, the law is that the one single orla fruit would be nullified in the 200 permitted fruit, and the mixture would be permitted. Even if you're not sure which one of them is the forbidden one, you'd be able to eat them, because the small amount of the mixture which is forbidden is nullified by the vast majority of the mixture. However, there is a rule with regards to nullification, where there is mixture of permitted and forbidden substances, and depending on which kind of mixture, the permitted substances can nullify the forbidden part of the mixture. However, a dover choshev, something which has extra importance and significance, an item like that can never be nullified, the logic being that you can't ignore its presence because of its significance. And the Mishnah is telling us that these pomegranates which grew in Bodon and were larger and better quality than other pomegranates, they are considered to be a dover choshev, an important and significant item, such that if somebody had a orla pomegranate which grew in Bodon and it was forbidden to benefit from it, and it got mixed up with many, many other pomegranates, even 1,000 times more permitted pomegranates, nevertheless, the entire mixture would be forbidden because of the small amount in that mixture which is forbidden, and we're not sure which part of the mixture is the forbidden part. And because of its significance, it cannot be nullified. Div Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, l'shar b'ayin sakelim, this tradition that Chachom had, which mentioned these pomegranates that grew in Bodon, was actually said about measuring the size of the hole in kelim to decide whether it can still become tome or not. Meaning, we don't use a medium-sized pomegranate, but rather a large pomegranate which grew in Bodon. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, all pomegranates, even regular-sized pomegranates, are considered significant, such that they would not be nullified in a mixture. Now the Mishnah brings a third opinion, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, Lekach lekachus karu. These pomegranates were actually mentioned with regards to both of the laws. Firstly, Shaibayim sakelim, to measure the size of the hole in kelim, that's the size of the hole in order for the kli to no longer become tomei. And secondly, the Umakajin Kol Shehein, these pomegranates are significant, and therefore they would forbid the mixture, even if they represent a tiny percentage of that mixture. And now the Mishnah brings a fourth opinion. Omar Rabbi Yosi says, Lehuzkru Mimoni Bodon v'chatsirei geva, the pomegranates which grow in Bodon and the leeks which grow in geva, these were only mentioned with regards to a different law. So Rabbi Yosi adds also a different kind of vegetable with regards to which the law was also stated, but Rabbi Yosi is arguing on the other two laws. According to Rabbi Yosi, the whole mention of these pomegranates was said with regards to a totally different law, and that is with regards to demai. Gemara refers to produce which is brought from an Am Ha'aretz, who is a person who is ignorant of many laws, including the laws of tithes and the various gifts which need to be separated from one's produce and given to particular people, Kohanim, Levim, poor people. And as a result of that, if somebody buys produce from a Am Ha'aretz, somebody who is ignorant of these laws, he is obligated to separate the tithes himself from that produce. Midrabanon, he needs to be concerned that the tithes were not separated. Now, this is only out of doubt, and therefore there are certain laws in which this produce will differ from tevel, which refers to produce which has definitely not yet been tithed. And according to Rabbi Yossi, it's with regards to these pomegranates and the leeks, Ela shiyu misasin vadei b'chol mokoim, the Chachomim said that they need to be tithed and be treated as if they have definitely not been tithed yet. They are considered to be tevel because the people who grew those pomegranates and those leeks were kusim, a large group of people who converted to become Jewish, but they didn't observe all of the laws of the Torah. One such example being that they would not tithe that which they sold to other people. That which they would eat, they possibly would tithe, but if they sold something to somebody else, then they would not tithe it. And therefore, if somebody buys these pomegranates or the leeks from them, and the pomegranates which grew in those places always came from them, then they would need to separate the tithes from there and treat it as tevel, produce that had definitely not yet been tithed. Mishnah Vav. The next few Mishnayos talk about other measurements which apply in different areas of the Torah, also given by particular fruit in a similar way to how the size of the hole is measured in terms of pomegranates. And the question is, which size fruit is used as that measurement? Kabeitza she'omru, the size of an egg that the Chachom said with regards to food, although food of any size is able to become tomei, in order for that food to make something else tomei, it needs to be the minimum size of an egg. So the Mishnah says, le'gedolva le'ktana, we're not talking about an extra large egg or an extra small egg, elo beinones, but rather the average medium-sized egg. Rabbi Huda says, how are we supposed to measure this? According to the first opinion, it seems that we should estimate. But Rabbi Yehuda requires that one be more exact, and therefore maybe gedolish b'gedolos, one should bring the largest egg that he can find, uktanos b'ktanos, and the smallest egg, and v'nosin esoch ha'mayim, he should place both of them into a container which is full right to the top with water. And obviously when he places the eggs inside of this container, the water will overflow, and he should place a different utensil outside that inner container of water so that the water spills into that container. And that water, which was displaced from the inner container when the eggs were placed in there, is obviously the size, the volume of those two eggs put together. And we're looking for the average between the largest and the smallest. And therefore, v'chalek samayim, he should split the water into two. And it's that volume which should be the volume of the medium-sized egg. And this is a more exact way of getting to the measurement of a medium-sized egg. However, Rabbi Yossi said, who's going to tell me what the largest egg is and the smallest egg? Even based on this measurement, you're not going to get to an exact figure and an exact volume. You're unlikely to get the very largest egg and the very smallest egg. So since anyway you're not able to get to an exact measurement, there's no need to start going through all of these calculations. It must be that when the Chachom said this measurement, they said that you should do it based on what you feel and what you think an estimate is the average-sized egg. Rather, it all depends on the understanding and estimate of the person who is looking and the person to whom this concerns. Mishnah Zayin, Kagoges she'omru, the size of a dried fig about which the Chachomim talked. There are a couple of laws which require this minimum size. For example, if somebody carries food out on Shabbos from a private domain into a public domain, or vice versa, from a public domain into a private domain, or he carries it for a distance in a public domain, that is forbidden on Shabbos, but he would only be liable to the punishment of bringing a sacrifice, a korban chatos, if he carries an amount which is considered to be at all significant, and the significant amount of food is at least the size of a dried fig. And the Mishnah explains, we're not talking about an extra large dried fig or an extra small dried fig, but rather the medium average size dried fig. And Rabbi Yehuda says, the largest dried fig in Eretz Yisrael, the large kind of dried fig, that is an equivalent size as the medium sized dried fig outside of Eretz Yisrael. And there are different ways to understand the argument over here. We are going to understand that according to the argument is what should be done inside of Eretz Yisrael. Do we use the size based on the medium-sized dried fig in the entire world, or specific to that location, Eretz Yisrael? According to the Tanna Kamma, the first opinion of the Mishnah, we base it on each location, wherever you are. The medium-sized fig is going to be the minimum size, the minimum amount of food that you need to take out on Shabbos in order to be liable. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, we base it on the size of the dried fig in the entire world, and therefore even in Eretz Yisrael, the amount that you would take out would be the size of a large egg in Eretz Yisrael, because that is the size of a medium egg elsewhere and really in the entire world. There's actually a fascinating discussion over here amongst the Mefarshim, the commentaries, as to how it can possibly be that one of the Shivas Haminim, the seven species by which the land of Eretz Yisrael is praised, the figs over there are going to be smaller than in the rest of the world. In fact, there is a different version of the Mishnah, but some actually amend that it should say the smallest fig in Eretz Yisrael is like the medium, the smallest fig in Eretz Yisrael is like the medium fig outside of Eretz Yisrael. But even according to that reading, the machlokes can be explained in the same way. Does each location have its own measurement based on the figs and the fruit over there, or do we have a universal measurement for everywhere? Mishnah Ches, Kazayis She'omru, the size of an olive that the Chachom said in many, many different places and areas of Torah law, that this is the minimum measurement for many different laws, the Godov or the Koton, it's not talking about a large olive or a relatively small olive, but rather El Benoni, a medium-sized olive, and the Mishnah adds Ze Egoiri. This is talking about an Egoiri olive. The Gemara explains that Egoiri comes from the word ogur, to be stored inside of something, because the oil of these olives was stored and kept inside of the olives such that even when the rain would fall on the olives, the oil would remain inside of the olives. And a medium-sized, a goyri olive is the size of which the Chachamim defined and talked about. Next example, Kasa'ira Sha'omru, the size of a corn of barley, that was a measurement which the Chachamim spoke about with regards to tumor of bones. If that volume of bones from a dead body is touched by somebody or is carried by someone, then they will become tome. We're not talking about an extra large corn of barley or a small one, elabenanis, but rather a medium-sized corn of barley, zomid boris, and more specifically, a medium-sized corn of barley which grows in the desert. Next, ka'adosh ha'omru, the measurement that the Chachom said of the size of a lentil, a sheretz, one of the eight animals which listed in the Torah as being a source of impurity when they are dead, small animals like weasels. And this measurement is also said with regards to tzara'as, a particular disease which one gets on their skin, which makes them tome. The minimum size of that tzara'as would need to be the size of a lentil. And the Mishnah once again says, le'gadol le'ktano, not talking about an extra large or an extra small lentil, el abeninis, but rather a medium-sized lentil. And which type of lentil? Zomitzris, an Egyptian lentil. Now the law is that anybody who's under the same roof as a dead body becomes tome. And included in that is if somebody is holding a stick, which is at least a tefach wide, and the other end of the stick is on top of a dead body. The person who is holding it will become tomei mid'oraisa. Now we're going to learn in Maseches Olas that if somebody has a round stick, whose circumference, the perimeter, the length around the stick, is a tefach, then midirabonon, such a stick is also considered large enough to make the person who is holding it tome. Since midiraisa, if the width of that stick is a tefach, it would make him tome. Midirabonon, in order that people don't get confused or think that they didn't become tome, even if only the circumference of that stick is a tefach, it would make him tome if he's holding it. And the other end of the stick is on top of a dead body. So the Mishnah says, Kol ha'metaltim avin satumim ba'ovim ardeya, all movable items like a stick would transfer the tumor, which is underneath it, to the person who's holding it. But ovi hamardeya, if it has the thickness of a stick which is used to hit animals. Now, which type of stick? Lo gadol v'lo katan, not an extra large and thick one, not an extra small one, el benoni, but rather a regular and average sized stick. And ezo benoni, what is the size of this medium sized stick? Kol sheh keifei tefach, anything whose circumference is a tefach. Midrabbonon, that would transfer tumor to anything which is underneath that stick, including the person who is holding it.